Oh, you got some good stories in
there. I told her to be nice.
Oh, okay. Her dad and my dad were brothers. So they were very close. There were 9 kids in that family. But my dad and her dad were the 2 oldest boys. And they loved each other. And her dad was a pastor. My dad was a deacon. You know, you've probably heard the saying that the reason preacher's kids are so mean is they run around with the deacon's kids. It'd probably go back the other way around.
Now.
But Nina's a wife and a wonderful husband. She has 3 beautiful daughters, and they have 3 spouses. They're all married, and she's got 7 grandsons, or grandkids, boys and girls. There's many talents about her that I couldn't even begin to name them because she's so talented. I got just a little bit, but she got most of it. But her talent is also included in an interior decorator. And she also has decorated, what it won the ring at the Children's Hospital? Or something?
There's a hospital in Arlington that I did, the executive wing that they did, and then Cook Children's Hospital.
Okay. Her informal training was mainly because of her mom and dad. They made sure that she was with people that was, you know, and I knew the people that she mentioned basically in her book, and they were nice, they were ministers too, very fine Christians. So after her daughters got married and left home, Nina decided to go to back to school because she went to seminary. So she has a degree in from the seminary in Christian ministry. And so that's where she had her formal deal. And so her experiences are she served as staff in local churches as minister of equipping and overseeing discipleship, programming, and pastoral care for men and women of all ages and all stages of life. She's published. She has a book named Mind Games, which I've told y'all about that one. And I encourage you to read it if you get a chance. And there's just a lot more to say about her, but I don't want to take up her time. We can talk about it when we get through and have dessert.
You can talk about me behind my back.
It's all good stuff.
She already has.
And you let me come anyway.
Yeah. Well, this is Nina.
Well, thank y'all. I have been so excited about being here with you and just sharing this time with you. And first of all, I want to ask you, if you don't mind reading out loud, I'm just going to pass these around and just take one and look it up in your Bible. And whenever I ask for this scripture, would you just read the verse for us? And if you don't like to read out loud, don't take one. It's fine. It's a guilt-free zone whenever I'm around.
What is your last name?
Burgett. B-U-R-G-E-T-T.
Okay,
Burgett. Nina Burgett. So thank you, Diana, for that nice introduction. She could have said a lot of other things.
I could have had my kids' eyes.
Yeah, we've got stories. But I also wanted to share with you that this summer, I finished up my board certification to be a mental health coach. And since COVID, whenever we were talking about COVID a few minutes ago, I know that you are certainly aware that the mental health of our culture has declined tremendously just since COVID. And, you know, Christians are not immune to that. And so the Lord just led me to get that certification and to help with beginning a mental health ministry in our church that we attend. And but I wanted to be board certified so that I could just really help anybody from anywhere who needed to take their next step with Jesus, whatever that means. And through the mental health field, we can do that. And so that's an exciting thing for me. And I am looking forward, and I don't have a clue what the Lord's going to do with that, but He's putting it together, and I'm already connected with Full Strength Network, which is an organization for people in ministry who need counseling or coaching. And so I'm not a counselor, I'm a coach. You know, a counselor looks at the past and takes care of the past. A coach looks at the present and moves you into the future. And so that is what I get to do. Hello.
Hi.
What's your name?
I'm Martha.
Martha, good to meet you. I'm Nina.
Nice to meet you.
I assume you know all these ladies.
Yes.
Or did you just walk in off the street? You heard the door was open. Well, good to meet you, Martha. So I would appreciate your prayers about that because, you know what's going on in people's hearts and minds. And like I said, Christians are not immune to the decline of mental health. So it's a privilege to be able to do that. And when you think about it, just pray for me and for the people that I work with and the other people in the field who are helping people navigate life as we know it today. So we could talk about that for a long time because we've all seen some life, haven't we? And haven't you noticed the changes over the last few years? But we'll talk about that another time. Yeah.
We can do that over dessert.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of a heavy subject, so.
We do a lot of things over dessert.
No, it's good. I'm doing a study right now called Not Alone, and it's by Jenny Allen, and she features Amina Brown and Lauren Chandler, and they do this together, and it's about making friends. And I told you about our church that has grown by 2,000 people in the last 2 years, so
wow.
We thought making friends was the thing that we should do. And there are many people who have moved to this area from different states. So we're doing this Not Alone study. And so Jenny Allen tells the story that Amina Brown told her after they'd been together 5 or 6 times, she introduced her to somebody as my friend, Amina Brown. And Amina Brown pulled her aside later and said, "Hey, Jenny, I just want you to know, we're not friends." And she's like, "What? Well, I mean, I thought that we were friends. You're my friend." And she said, "No, we're not friends until we break bread together."
Aww.
And so, so when we have dessert, then we all become friends.
We're really good friends.
Really good friends. Yeah. Yeah. Really. For sure. So Diana told me that you've been doing the Breathe study from Priscilla Shirer, and I love her. I mean, I'll do anything she teaches. We can trust that it is biblically sound and it's relevant to whatever's happening today. So I wanted to hear from you first. What is your biggest takeaway that you've gotten so far? I know are you about in the middle of it?
Yeah,
in it about six?
Sessions.
Okay. Yeah, it's about 6 weeks, isn't it?
Five. Yeah, we have five
okay.
sessions.
Okay, so you're about in the middle.
Yeah.
So what is your biggest takeaway, just off the top of your head, so far?
I would say that the Sabbath is a gift and not so much the thinking of this is what you've got to do.
Yeah.
You know,
not so much a duty.
Don't do this or do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's God's provision for us and just to give us freedom.
Mm.
You know, that's.
Mm.
I think the biggest thing for me is the whole concept of margin. And when you don't have margin in your life, you give up so many opportunities, you know, that we don't even think about. I mean, once you're living your life to the max, you have no more room.
Yeah.
There is no margin in your life.
Yeah.
And so that was a new concept to me, and it really made me start thinking about how I live my life and cram it full of, you know, all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So that and learning to say no. Yeah.
Mm.
Just not feeling like you have to say yes to everything that's asked of you.
Yeah. Which I think is really hard for a lot of us Christian women. Do you guys find that difficult? Because we're fixers and we're taught to love and be kind and meet other people's needs. And so no doesn't fit with all of that. But it really does. You know, so looks like you have another thought about that.
Yeah, you know, the thing that hangs me up on that is just knowing you should have a servant's heart and serve, but somewhere there's the line where you say no. You know, and so it's almost, you know, it can be a contradiction sometimes that
right.
you can work through.
Mm-hmm.
So
you can do too much.
Yeah.
Really?
Even for the ministry. Yes.
Right.
Even
for the
ministry.
Same way that Linda does, I think. Because what's been on my mind ever since we've been in this study is that you can say yes and you can be busy and you cannot be too busy.
But the point is, are you doing what you need to be doing for God? Or is it just good work you've chosen? And sometimes we choose what where we're comfortable, and that may not be where we should be.
That's a good point, Nelda. And that's a good thing to always check, isn't it?
Well, I think you have to check it from time to time, too. Situations, circumstances always are changing. So it may have been where you should have been last year, but maybe this year you need to be somewhere else.
Yeah. I think it's Lisa Turkhurst that has a book called The Best Yes. Have y'all seen that? And that's what you're talking about, The Best Yes. Because there are a lot of yeses.
Yeah.
But every time we say yes to something, we say no to something else.
Or
and
we should,
vice versa.
Or we should.
Or we should. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. What else have you taken away?
I think it's brought me back to a few years ago when I had so many things going on, you know, raising the children. I had a husband that wasn't very healthy. He was sick a lot and working in the church and doing cheerleading. And then I ended up being director of cheerleading. I had all of that going on at one time. And I think it was driving me crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
But I,
that overload that Linda was talking
but
about.
But I wish that I had this session then, but I guess there was a reason not to. But, but anyway, I think that brought me back to then. I'm thinking, oh, wow, I wish I would have had this back then. I could have really used it. I'm retired, so I have no trouble saying no anymore.
That's good. Yeah, so, I think some of that comes with maturity.
Yeah.
Somebody else? Any other big takeaways?
You said, well, I agreed with all of you so far.
Saying no is hard. And, you know, not only in your personal life or church life, but your work life as well. So, and sometimes if you say no at work, it kind of is a mark against you.
Yeah, you have to be strategic about that.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, and just like with when my daughter was young, it was okay. Keeping up with the Joneses situation, you know, oh, she needs to be in ballet, she needs to do this, she needs to do that. It's like, no, we can't do that.
Can't do
we
all.
Work
can't
a full time. Both my husband and I work full time, and it's like, you can choose one thing that you really want to do, and that's what we're going to concentrate on.
Again, that's that margin that Linda mentioned.
Right.
And it's
you know,
important.
We had to learn to say no, and I found that it actually worked out for all of us because if we overstimulated her, she just would have meltdowns. So
Yeah.
Made it easier for me.
Right. So I'm wondering, in your study, have you gone over the why of Sabbath and the original or the origin
of it?
Did, okay. So you know that. Well, answer this question for me, so just so that I know I'm not being redundant for you. So what is the origin of celebrating the Sabbath? Where do you see it first in the Bible?
God
created Genesis 7, 8,
exactly.
Yes, in Genesis 2, he did the whole creation.
It's a part of the creation.
Yes.
It's not an afterthought.
Yes. Such a good point there. And that's highly important. So he modeled it for us. We see it in modeled. Now, did he have to rest?